Well, good morning, everybody. It's great to see you here. Today I'm starting a new series called The Lies We Believe, because we have all been a victim of a lie at some point in our lives. Sometimes those lies are told to us to try to help us, kind of like a mistruth that we're told when we are children. Now, I'm not sure if I'm alone in this, but here, you know, some of the things that I was told when I was growing up. You know, sitting too close to the television set will cause eye damage. Anybody ever heard that one? Yeah. If you touch a toad, you'll get warts. Uh-huh. Keep your eyes open when you sneeze and your eyeballs will pop out. Yeah. Drinking too much coffee stunts your growth. You know, I think adults tell that fib because we want to keep all the coffee to ourselves, but I'm not sure. If you swallow your gum, it takes 7 years for it to digest in your belly. And perhaps, you know, probably the most famous one of all, if you keep making that face, your face is going to stick that way. It's going to remain that way. And it's easy for us, right, to laugh at those lies, and we may have even been guilty of sharing those with our children at one time or another. Never like to point fingers because, you know, whenever you point fingers, you've got a couple of them pointing back at yourself. So we try not to do that. But the lies that are more difficult for us to deal with are the lies that tend to affect the way that we live or what we believe. And some of these lies may have been told to us in school. Some of them may have been told to us in the workplace. I think sometimes the lies that are uttered in church have the power to become almost like gospel truth to us and are extremely dangerous. And so some of the lies we're going to tackle in the coming weeks, I'll be with you all again next week, lies like I could never forgive so-and-so, this belief that we are unable to give forgiveness, or the lie of to simply follow your heart wherever it may lead, or the lie that so-and-so could never change, and that so-and-so could be me. This morning, the lie we're going to be talking about, the lie that we're trying to expose, is the lie that God just wants me to be happy. That God just wants me to be happy. And it's easy to see how persuasive this lie could be, right? Because God is love, and because God loves me, God would want me to be happy. I mean, it even says there somewhere in the Bible, right, that what people will say, it's right next to, you know, like 3 Hezekiah, that God says we are called to be happy. This lie, however, is incredibly damaging. I have seen marriages torn apart by the pursuit of happiness. I've seen jobs that have been lost, reputations destroyed, because what they were chasing was happiness. You know, at the end of the day, each one of these people would say, you know, I know that God just wants me to be happy, and so he is okay with my choices, because my happiness is what is important. Now, happiness isn't a bad thing, right? I really enjoy being happy, but, you know, we are happy because of our external circumstances. When the external part of our lives, when things are going well on the outside, we are happy, right? All is good. Happen to be outside on a beautiful sunny day, right? There's not a cloud in the sky, beautiful blue sky. I'm happy. I'm eating chocolate, right? I'm a happy boy if I'm eating chocolate. Now, if you drive all the way through Beaver Falls and you never hit a red light, that causes happiness, right? That's like seeing a unicorn. When I'm out walking my dogs, you know, Coco's got this little tail that just kind of like wags back and forth. I'm happy, right? There's a happiness I have being around my dogs. When I'm watching Sophia play volleyball, I'm extremely happy. When I'm sitting next to my wife and we're relaxing, I'm happy. All those things make me happy, and all is right in the world. And, you know, someone in my last church would say, you know, talking about happiness, I'd say, hey, how you doing? She's like, oh, I'm all fat and sassy, because everything was good in her life. Now, God is not anti-happiness. After all, he created us to enjoy things like coffee and chocolate and walking the dogs and volleyball. But here's the problem, right? Circumstances change. And circumstances change all of the time. And it's dangerous for us to lead our lives in such a way that our inward feelings are directed by our outward circumstances. And when we find ourselves pursuing that kind of happiness, right, a happiness that is dependent upon what's going on outside of me that I have no control over, we will find ourselves in a ditch of resentment and despair. You know, that lie that the grass is always greener on the other side, it hooks into our spirit and it pulls us away from God's best for our lives. And if rather than living the type of life that Jesus wants for us, as he says in John 10:10, right, a life that is full and abundant, because we pursue happiness, we find ourselves becoming miserable and depressed and anything but happy. And so if the lie is that God just wants me to be happy, then what is the truth? What is it that God desires for us more than happiness? I believe that what God wants us to experience is joy. Now, joy is this settled state of contentment and confidence and hope that only comes through trusting in him. Joy is mentioned 88 times in the New Testament, 57 times in the New Testament. And so God definitely has an opinion, has some thoughts on joy. And this morning I want to share with you three biblical truths that we need to remember to combat this lie of God only wanting us to experience happiness. And the first one is this, is that joy is a fruit of the Spirit. That joy is a fruit of the Spirit. So in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, Paul proclaims this, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." Right? Paul understood that happiness is fleeting and it depends upon circumstance. But the joy that Paul talks about is much more deeply rooted and lasting. It is not dependent upon the changing circumstances of our lives. True joy comes from knowing God. It comes from knowing that the King of the universe loves us and cares for us. It comes from having this assurance that no matter what happens in our lives, we know, we trust that God is in control. And because of this, we can relax and rejoice. And the Bible is consistent in teaching that Christians should be joyful regardless of their circumstances, right? Because it's not our circumstances that save us. It is God who saves us. In fact, at the end of Philippians, Paul says this, Philippians 4:4, "Always be full of the joy of the Lord. I will say it again, rejoice." Now, this doesn't mean that we will never be sad. And it doesn't mean that we have to pretend that everything is good in our lives when it's not. But what it means is that we should be people who are not beaten down by our circumstances, by what's going on around us, because we have joy. We've got the presence of God. We are not to be a people who are paralyzed by the what ifs. Instead, we are able to follow God with real joy in every circumstance, trusting that he will work out all things for his glory. Secondly, joy is not built on circumstances, but a person named Jesus. Now, I'm sure most all of you know this, but this is the second time I've served Concord Church. You know, I've served Concord from 2005 to 2009 with Pastor John and Pastor Brad. Very early on in my time at Concord, last time, there was a woman by the name of Linda Pitzer, and Linda had cancer, and she ultimately passed away from that cancer. I didn't know Linda well. As I said, I was really new at that time, but Linda's life and death made an incredible impact on my life. I remember sitting here in this sanctuary during her funeral, and Pastor John Smith was standing here and sharing about Linda's life. And Linda was someone who kept a journal, and in her journal she wrote down her thoughts and her prayers, and especially as she dealt with cancer. Close to the end of her life, right, Linda was not able to write much. And so she would simply write down the name of Jesus. And there would be pages in her journal where Jesus, Jesus, Jesus was written down. Yeah, I mean, I remember like it was yesterday. And I pray I've got the same kind of joy in my life as I face death, to say the name of Jesus. Because joy is not based upon our circumstances, it's based upon a person. And it's not based upon our outward circumstances, but it's based upon Christ dwelling within us as a believer. And Jesus' last words here on earth to his followers as he left, he said, "I will always be with you to the very end of the age," Matthew 28:20. Then in Hebrews, we're told that Jesus will never leave us or forsake us. I mean, these beautiful truths are another reason why joy is so much greater than happiness. Joy is not built upon external circumstances, but it's built upon Christ who lives within us. It's based upon that knowledge and that trust. And so really, hear this. If the Spirit of Christ is always within me and will never leave me, then my joy will never leave me. And no matter what I go through, I can have joy because God is with me. A number of years ago, I participated in a Beth Moore Bible study on the book of Esther, and it wasn't one of her better Bible studies, but it's really the only Bible study that I remember something what Beth said. And she said this: "If blank, then God. If blank, then God." And I remember in the teaching video, Beth had shared that she was gripped with fear about, you know, losing her husband, about losing her children. And this fear was all-consuming, and it was ruining her life. And so then one day this phrase came to her: "If blank, then God." And it really doesn't matter what you put in the blank, because if you have Jesus, if whatever you put in that blank happens, you've got Jesus. You know, most of you know what's been going on with my dad, and it has been a long couple months, and you know, just recently they kind of totaled up all the days that he was in hospital or rehab, and it was 88 days between hospital and rehab, and coming home and having to go back in and being rushed to the emergency room, and so many ups and downs. You know, I was just sharing with my district superintendent, and I had my one-on-one this week, and it seems like, you know, dad will have two good days and then it's followed by four really bad days. And, you know, it's like I'm filled with hope, and then despair comes, and it's just discouraging. And, you know, I love my dad. I'm not ready to lose my dad. You know, I want him to be at Sophia's wedding. I want him to meet, you know, our son when he finally gets here. But I also know that if the worst possible thing happens and I lose my dad, right, if that blank is filled with the death of my father, that I will still have Jesus. You know, more importantly, I know that my dad knows Jesus, and that when his earthly life is done, I know exactly where he is and that he'll be celebrating in heaven. You know, having Jesus, having that, you know, Jesus joy, not based upon external circumstances, it matters. And we need that. And it's a gift. Number three, only the real Jesus can bring real joy. Only the real Jesus can bring real joy. You know, the Jesus of the Bible is going to regularly disrupt our lives. He is going to call us to do difficult things. He's going to call us to stand up in opposition to our own personal preferences. When you think about it, this command of Jesus to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow after him is going to get in the way of our happiness. The command to love one another can get really annoying and really gets in the way of our happiness. And so it's almost a natural inclination for us to try to shape Jesus into something that is more palatable to our own personal opinions and preferences. Right? Because left to our own devices, we really don't want to be created in the image of God. We would much rather create God in the image of us. We don't want him to be in control. We want to be the ones who are in control. But if we are the ones who are in control, and if God is shaped in our image, then there is no lasting happiness, and more importantly, there is no lasting joy. Because when we become the ones who are in charge, and then the circumstances of our lives come crashing down and down and crushes us beneath the waves of defeat and discouragement and death, we will find that we are completely alone. But if we allow the real Jesus, right, not the one that we've made, but the real Jesus, who allow him to grow the fruit of the Spirit within us, right, we will have joy. If we allow the real Jesus to take control of our lives, we will find ourselves in places we will have never have guessed. We may find ourselves giving children sermons, or teaching a class, going on a mission trip, leading a church. You know, we're taking communion this morning. Today is, you know, World Communion Sunday. Christians all over the world are gathered to take communion. And, you know, is anybody interested here in taking communion with plastic bread or glue to drink? Or what if we had a bunch of styrofoam peanuts and gasoline? Any takers on that? You know, we wouldn't settle for anything imitation as we come to the altar. We wouldn't settle for anything less in this holy moment. And why would we ever settle for something less than the real Jesus? Who may put us in uncomfortable positions at times. Jesus isn't concerned about our happiness. Jesus is concerned about our holiness. Jesus wants us to have real joy, a lasting joy, a true joy in our lives. And that doesn't come from being fat and sassy. It comes from knowing him and trusting him and being led by him. So is it possible today that today we could make a decision together? Right, that we will choose to pursue the joy over the Lord over happiness. Because that joy of the Lord will be longer lasting. And it will provide greater satisfaction than any amount of happiness ever could. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we pray this morning that as we come to this holy table, that, Lord, we would recognize your presence. Lord, that as we come to this holy table, we would experience real joy. Jesus, we pray that you would continue to change us and mold us and make us into your image. Jesus, we truly need you. We don't need happiness, but we need you. We pray this in your precious name, O Savior. Amen.